Is it right you do a whole podcast about keeping up appearances?
Yes.
Wow. All about keeping up appearances.
It's niche.
Yeah, listen, people love niche.
People love niche and people love keeping up appearances.
There you go.
Did you freeze before?
Well, yeah, it seemed to be me Zoom. I think it's me computer rather than me internet this time. The internet doesn't seem too bad. But I don't know.
I can hear you fine.
Always crystal clear.
Yeah, I was trying to get a really good screen, sort of the frozen face, because you just look completely vacant.
Before I went off?
Yeah, before you went off.
I think it's the computer, because like, even now my mouth is moving after.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah, that can tell you can see that lag.
Yeah.
But I think it's the actual the computer rather than the... Honest to God. Yeah, uh-oh. I don't like this.
So welcome to this week's episode of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. We are a member down this week, but it is all good news as we congratulate Sean, who has had his first child, young Ginny O'Hara. So they are sat at home now, I think, enjoying themselves. Sean is probably very sleep deprived, but I'm sure has a big smile on his face. So congratulations to Sean and Hannah and Ginny, who is the first member of Keeping Up Appearances Youth.
Better get out of that sleep deprivation to edit this episode, though. Never stops.
Never. So things might be a little bit different today. We might have to fill in for different roles. Bob has stepped up for Any Given Saturday, which we will go to in a minute. But of course, we will hear Sean's Maroon 5, which he will be throwing in a bit later. But as I said, we will start.
For Keeping Up Appearances, should we just say a player that is hundreds out and say that that's Sean's guess?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. Maybe that's what we should do. Just literally the pit. We've got to guess the furthest away, but more than it.
Yeah.
And that's the winner this week, the person who's furthest away.
That's the real quiz.
Yeah.
Right. Without any further ado, we will go to Bob, who has prepared what he's told us isn't easy any given Saturday, but I think me and Tosh will be the judge of that.
Yeah, you will be, but there's no shockers in here. I could have gone rogue with the match week I've picked, but any given Saturday this week, we're going to go back to game week 8 of the 2006-07 season, which was Saturday the 14th of October 2006. And our first game will be Portsmouth 2, West Ham United 0.
Right, okay. Straight off the bat, are we going? Is one of the Portsmouth players, do they have a sweet left foot?
Are you thinking Sully Montari?
No.
I was thinking Sully Montari, though.
I was thinking the boy Taylor.
I'm answering the questions. Yeah, both of them are wrong.
Both of them are right. That it was easy.
No. Wow, that was quick.
No. Did one of them play for Portsmouth? Are you thinking Sully Montari? Well, you would be correct.
No, neither of those.
2006 was one of them a centre-half who we featured in football's biggest traitors?
No.
Would one of them be like a classic Harry Redknapp sign, like someone Harry Redknapp signed more than once?
No, I don't think so.
But he did maybe sign him for Portsmouth then.
Yeah, probably.
Striker?
Yep.
Was he Zimbabwean?
No.
Was he English?
One of them was English.
Probably too early for Jermaine Defoe, I'd guess. So
it's not Jermaine Defoe.
Was he much bigger than Jermaine Defoe? No, he'd been at Liverpool. Oh.
Oh, but not
Crouchy.
Not most centre forwards are.
Yeah, it's a good point. Centre forward Portsmouth. Did the other one go on to play for Everton?
No. Who are you thinking of then?
Yakubu, would he have been there then, or would he have been Borough?
I'm not sure where he would have been then, but it's not him.
Probably just about Borough, I reckon. Right, come on. English centre forward. He played for Portsmouth.
One of them's English, the other player isn't.
Is the other one dead?
No.
Morbid question.
I was waiting for 1 week, Papa Bubajov, to be the answer.
Yeah, I should have fixed that, really, shouldn't I? God
would
rest
they
them.
Have been? Would they have been at the start of their careers then, or towards the end?
The latter.
Right.
Oh, was the other one? Would the other one's first name been taken from the first president of the 20th century, first elected president?
Oh, I can't be arsed even thinking of what you mean by that.
Would he be? Could you put his first name before a beer? Teddy Bear, Teddy Sheringham.
No, I was thinking Yogi then.
Yogi.
I took some. I don't know whether he was the first elected president of the 20th century, but was named after Theodore Roosevelt. So there's some facts for you.
Was he?
Well, no. Sorry, the Teddy Bear was named after Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, I thought you meant Sheringham.
Well, indirectly, he was.
Yeah, I suppose.
English striker. Would he have played for England?
Yes.
Did he score in his only game for England?
He made more than one appearance for England.
Did he play more than once? Former party. We need a junior.
I've got a couple of good clues.
Go on, we'll take them then. Any good content we'll take. Probably won't be much today.
So one of the clues you mentioned, Teddy Sheringham, famously had a feud with him. Let me finish the clues. And the other clue, as Sean isn't here, I've accidentally picked two players that Sean has nominated for the Ireland.
I think, well, we know the first one then is Andrew Cole.
Yep.
And the other one, is it a striker then? No, I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, but not English.
I've mentioned them by another title.
Oh, no.
Not another title, a nickname that I've given him.
European?
No.
A nickname African. You've given him?
Is he African?
Yeah. Oh, shit, I've got that completely wrong. I've got that completely wrong. Sean didn't nominate him for the Ireland.
Wait, I thought you were going to say...
Hey, I've got myself confused. Sean did nominate Canu for the Ireland. I was thinking of JJ Okocha for some strange reason.
So it's just to throw you off.
But yeah, it is Canu.
Yeah, okay.
Just cut all that other bit out, Sean, and just say me guessing Canu. That's all we need for that.
Straight to Canu.
we probably should have got those scorers quicker there.
Yeah.
Maybe not Andy Cole. I can't even remember him playing there, to be honest.
Neither could I. I think that was the closest to a curveball I had.
That was a good
one, I have no recollection of him playing for Portsmouth. Okay, so the second game is Wigan 1, Manchester United 3.
We haven't had Wigan for about a week, so that's a good one.
Do you really like the Wigan goal scorer?
Yes.
Is it Leighton Baines?
Yes.
Wow.
United fell behind in the 5th minute. Leighton Baines rifling in a sensational 30-yard free kick into the top corner.
Is that your own words?
No, BBC.
He did score the odd goal against United, didn't he? To be fair, lots of penalties.
Yeah. The first Premier League goal.
But you went a bit too quick there, Callum, because I didn't get the chance to guess, was it Paul Sharner? So that's a classic of the any given Saturday year.
Guess it'd be United.
Yeah.
We'll get Sean to pull his finger out so he can swap the Baines guess for your Paul Sharner.
So. He needs to get some sorts. He's a couple of weeks off work. He needs something to do. Right, the United ones, these should be easier to guess. You'd guess, did one of them play for Everton and make his debut when he was 16?
First question, yes. Second part of it, no.
Ooh.
As in, it's not Rooney.
Is he a Frenchman or the King?
Yes.
Mr. Louis Saha?
Mm-hmm.
Great player.
Three separate scorers, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is one of them a future Ballon d'Or winner? Is it at that point?
No.
Is one of them a class of 92-er?
No.
Good question.
Good question, yeah.
Did any of the others play for Everton?
No.
Was the other one a striker? Was any either of the other strikers?
One of them was, yeah.
Oh, so striker and was it Dutch?
No.
French?
No.
English?
Argentinian?
No, no.
Oh no.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I didn't mean Argentinian actually. I think I meant
Uruguayan.
Uruguayan.
Who would that be?
Forlan.
Forlan.
Oh, not him.
I think he was probably gone by that. So striker, not that. And striker for United then. Give us a clue for the striker, Bob.
I was going to say, is he a United youth product?
No.
No,
he's been a striker around that time, because that was the other one they won the league, wasn't it? Is he a manager? Was he a manager of United recently?
Yeah.
Oh, Ollie Gunnar.
Yeah.
I always forget he was there that late. He was
that was going to be my clue. Not the manager thing, just you wouldn't have expected them to be playing this late.
Well, Sean got him with a good keeping up appearance answer a few weeks ago, didn't he? He was very close, with a lot more than we thought. So we've got three of the scorers. We've got one more. Can you narrow it down to a position for us?
If you ask. Positions.
Oh, midfield.
No.
Defender.
Yeah.
Fullback.
No.
Centre half.
Yes.
Did he have a TV show about making people?
No.
Did he get ripped by Torres every time he played against them?
Yes.
Is it Vidic?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Is that all of them, yeah?
That is all of them, yeah.
That was all of them. We'll take that. We'll take that. We've done all right there, to be fair.
Fairly straightforward. I completely cocked up the first one with getting the wrong.
Yeah, you and me got
Man on the Island.
I nearly said Jason Kumas, but
I prefer not hosting. I've just decided.
I'll host next week. And then
you're too much the star player, Bob, to be honest. We need your guests. There's too many flat times.
I'm the Baines.
So we had a good ending on Saturday there. We'll move on from that to an absolute disgrace of a football match. And we'll talk about the Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool game. It's all right when you're at the top of the league and everything goes for you. But I'll hand over to Bob, see if he has any thoughts on it, how Notts Forest got against Liverpool at the weekend.
Nottingham.
Well, last weekend, as I'm sure you were, I was just completely and utterly fed up of football, so I didn't actually get a chance to see any of the Notts Forest-Liverpool game. I've seen some of the complaints via social media and stuff like that, but I can't really make sense of it. It's impossible to get like a sensible opinion on it, because you're either, well, if you're looking at Liverpool fans, they're just like, crack on, we've got another decision in our favour, then Notts Forest fans are absolutely apoplectic about it.
Seemed like a very strange decision by the ref.
What actually happens then?
From what my understanding is,
give me a neutral's view on it, Carl.
Yeah, I'm not so neutral.
I was going to say, I think his intro ruled out his in.
Well, give it a balance.
Sorry, Cal.
Go on, yeah. So I think from what I've seen, what happened, so Forrest put a cross in, might have been a corner. Alisson came out, clattered Konate, punched the ball away.
Not a surprising thing for a Nazi to do.
Retained the ball. Forrest retained the ball, and we're about to put a cross in. Konate stayed on the floor. The referee stopped the game to see to Konate, but then give the ball back to Liverpool, and Liverpool played on. Is that kind of the gist of what happened?
I thought we'd see that. Yeah, no, sort of. I mean, it wasn't Alisson in goal. I don't think he's out injured, isn't he?
Sorry, Cal, however.
Yeah, no, but the gist of it, I think, so the cross comes in. I don't know whether it was a corner or directly from the cross. I can't remember. I have seen it. And then, as you say, Callum, the ball So it gets cleared out to the other side where that Hudson-Odoi is waiting. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, he probably doesn't get a touch on the ball, but he's literally about to as the referee blows the whistle because Konate seems to be down with a head injury. And at first, I think there's some people saying he sort of, there's quite a few bodies in there. So the people are saying, oh, he clattered with the Forest player, blah-de-blah. And then, as you say, the referee, Paul Tierney, despite Forest probably having it, he gives the ball back to Kelleher. And it's one of them ones. Now, they don't really have that much these days, do they, of like giving the ball to give it back to someone? It's only like for a throw in that happens. So I think his implication, Tierney, was that Liverpool were just to carry on. So I don't think Liverpool were in the wrong there for carrying on. And then the bit that when I first seen it, because obviously I was at Everton and out afterwards and I seen the controversy, that I was under the impression that Liverpool had gone down the other end and scored. Whereas that's not fully the story. It was a good couple of minutes, I think, and Forrest had had the ball after it and could have cleared it. And then Liverpool get a corner and they clear the corner and Odoi tries to dribble out, to which he loses it. And McAllister does, underrated, I think people, how well McAllister actually does in, like, he could just like kick it back in, but he keeps the ball and plays a great cross. And then Nunes goes on the end of it. So I think from my perspective, I think it's very easy to overreact. I don't know. I feel like sort of there's a lot of time passed between it, which is my difficulty.
Yeah.
But it is that sort of thing. I think if I was to put my tin hat on, it's that thing of, you know, like it's all them little decisions, isn't it? That we would be as bitter Evertonians that, you know, like Forrest there genuinely had the ball. We were about to put a cross in, Hudson-Odoi probably would have got a cross in, probably wouldn't have been a good one. But, and you know, suddenly that's a bit of a momentum shift. Forrest are all up there for a corner, you know, they might get another corner, blah, blah, and it just stops. And yeah, then Liverpool have got the ball. And I think it's more that case of Forrest were moaning. It feels like they sort of lost the head a bit, which isn't Liverpool's fault, is it, you know, Forrest? But as you probably would, you can imagine Goodison at that point, you know, in injury time, you got a corner, you think you should have it, you stop because you, and your natural assumption would be that he's faking it, because that's what you always think, isn't it, when someone goes down the box. And
when it's a Liverpool player as well.
And that's a good point.
The thing is, Evan would have given the ball back.
Baines, I tell you, Baines would have. Baines' trademark, wasn't it? I
haven't muted you in a while, Tosh.
So have you muted for Baines, slander?
Didn't notice because of the lag. The two things that I sort of thought, and again, that Tierney is the one that Klopp always moans about, isn't he? I think, and he's numerous times said, we don't want him refereeing. And since they've made that comment, he was the referee, I think, away at Tottenham with that controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And Klopp said something like, I don't know what his problem is with us. Since then, I think he refereed that game against Chelsea, where Chelsea probably could have had a couple of penalties and Liverpool maybe got a soft one. And then there's that incident there, which doesn't help. And I think that just brings the whole debate about managers talking about refs and specifically naming refs. And that's what the type of thing that happens, that either it keeps going the one way where all people, Liverpool fans are saying we're being persecuted, or one thing goes the other way and you say, oh, it's because he said that. And I think that it's a dangerous game to get down. And then also what made me laugh was Mark Clattenburg, the new Gladiators referee.
Yeah, is he now employed Forest. By Forest, is he?
Yeah, he was sat next to Howard Webber at a game, I think at the United game last week. I seen him, and they famously don't particularly get on at some point. But yeah, going from like referee and Nitro and Legend and all them on a Saturday to complaining on Twitter, on writing letters saying about decisions, just seems a bit farcical. And that's, I think, precedent that's been set recently, hasn't it? With, you know, like people writing statements demanding footage. And I think, I'm not a fan of referees. I actually really don't like that Tierney. And he came across very cocky at the end, the way he was like dismissing and sending Forest people off. But also now all it takes is one thing and people are up in their arms, aren't they? And I don't know. But yeah.
Well, after all that, disgrace.
I've got a big Forest friend who I was trying to get to say, see if you come on and give us a comment on. And he was absolutely furious that perceived big club sort of thing.
I think the time as well was a big point, wasn't it? The time added on. I think they were going mad about that on Gillette Soccer Saturday.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, where he got, well, obviously I was at the game, but when I came, I've seen that, like how, like where he pulled like that added time from and just kept playing. It felt a bit like we're just playing until they score.
Fergie time, but Jürgen time.
But did you see the Luton managers, Rob Edwards, when they played United the other week, and United were obviously winning 3-2, and Luton got like something like 3 or 4 minutes. you know, at the end of the second half and all the subs have been made, blah, blah, blah. And he just made a very tongue-in-cheek comment. He said something like, you know, if it was the other way, you know, I'm sure, well, it was only 4 minutes because United were, you know, like, because we needed a goal, not United type thing. Sometimes, yeah, then, I mean, that's hard. It's hard. I never understand where they get it from. Like, seven seems to be like the new four, doesn't it? Just
it does seem like they just make it up, like, on the spot of it. There's no seem to be rhyme or reason to it at all, but Yeah, just don't know. Yeah, Liverpool are cheats, but we'll continue.
It did do us a favour. It did. A dodgy decision did do us a favour, though, realistically, didn't it? Got to say that.
Takes us further away from the top four and fit it winning the league, Bob. So.
Yeah, that is a good point. But and also, not far as our scabs, aren't they? So.
Bob, tell you what, you are. You're going to be hated in the Forest community. You do know that.
Good.
So we will head over from that game to Marooned 5. Tosh, do you want to open out this week's topic, please?
Yeah, before I do that, though, Cam, I'll just mention last week's one. So last week, our topic was people who'd had second careers, and we had our most votes ever, I think, in a poll, and probably our closest ever poll as well with the number of votes. And Vinnie Jones just edged it. 35% of the votes. Dion Dublin's 33%. But yeah, whatever the reason was for all them votes, everyone who voted last time, please vote again because it was good. Good forward that, all the votes this week.
That's disgraceful. It's got to be Dion Dublin, that.
Yeah, and again, yeah. I don't want to say all the people who are voting are idiots, but please just vote again. Vote for the right one this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever, whoever caused the votes to be done, if we could do that again, because we did nothing different and like went about seven times higher than what we were the week before in terms of votes. But yeah, so Vinnie Jones joining other great midfielders. We say that every week, you know, Paul Pogba. I can't remember who's another midfielder.
Is he allowed to still be on the island?
Oh, drugs test, isn't it? Yeah. Good point, actually.
I don't think he'd be able to pass customs.
I like to think it's an island where there's not many rules and regulations, like another famous island.
And we did mention Callum Hudson-Odoi before as well.
he's got to get votes done, though. He can't just visit that one. He can't sign the guest book for this one. He's got to get invited onto the one. So this week, then, obviously, a person down, but we're hopefully going to get his added on a bit like I did a couple of weeks ago. We're going to link to the upcoming Oscars, and one that we've spoke about doing a couple of times. Also linking to, I suppose, a bit of a Maroon 5 a couple of weeks ago. We're going to talk about our best football and films. So I think I might start this one off as someone who's not a massive film watcher. So I sort of struggle with this.
Like Michael Owen.
Like Michael Owen, yeah. I reckon I've seen more than him, but I haven't seen any of Vinnie Jones's, as we discovered last week.
Neither have I, to be fair.
But he's on the island, so.
But he is. He got him there, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's got his tell me. The hard man of the island, some are calling him.
Yeah. Jason Kumas is terrified of him.
Right. So my one I'm going to pick is going to be Escape to Victory. And I think it's a good one to go first. I think it's amongst those of a certain generation older than ours. It'll probably be one of them staple movies, which any football fan has probably seen. And it's probably one of them films that's on like Christmas Day and Easter Sunday sort of film. So I don't know how we're going to do this. I'll give a very quick plot thing. I've probably seen it a couple of times, but last time probably a good few years ago. So I'll do it from my best from memory. Prisoner of war camp where there's obviously the German sort of people have got a bit of a football team. And then there's the campmates, the people who are the prisoners. They make a football team and they sort of compromise to have the match. And the film is basically just full of superstars such as Pelé. Bobby Moore did have a list. I can maybe come to hand. Pelé, Bobby Moore, Ozzy Ardiles, Mike Summerbee, and lots of Ipswich players. Yeah, I was going to say the other actors. So Sylvester Stallone and Michael Caine are the two superstar actors. So nice little link to Everton with Sylvester Stallone as well. If he'd have been an Everton fan, then we could have maybe had a little Everton kit on in goal. But anyway, Sylvester Stallone's someone he plays an American who's not interested in football, and he ends up going in goal for them and making some great saves. But anyway, what happens is they originally had a plan. They deal with the French. Do you want to jump in now, Bob? Sorry.
No, just Pelé apparently broke his finger with a penalty. while they were filming it.
Oh, good knowledge. Yeah, I think I had heard that before. I've forgotten that, so good. But yeah, anyway, the end up, I won't go into too much detail in case anyone wants to watch it, but they played a football match against a very biased referee and a very biased German thing. They end up, I think, drawing the football match. Pele scored an unbelievable overhead kick and Sylvester Stallone making a lot of great saves. He might save a penalty, but I can't remember that. But he certainly makes lots of great saves despite being a novice in goal. And yeah, and as all the crowd invade the pitch and the escape after the game. So he could have, the point I think the film is, he could have escaped at half-time. He'd found a route out of like the changing room, but he chose to stay and play the game. Which seems like a silly choice, really. I think if you could escape from a prisoner of war camp at half-time, you'd do that rather than just finishing the game. I don't know.
Fans are good to game. One.
Yeah, but they were getting beat at that time. I just got off me. But
yeah.
No,
that's the balling.
Yeah, that's the Everton fan coming out of you there, Tosh.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But yeah, no, say, just a film, I remember watching it younger with my dad, saying you should watch it. I think it's one of them films where if you watched it back, it's actually probably not that good, but it's probably just a sort of bit of a notorious film back in the days when there maybe weren't as many films and there wasn't as many things. But, you know, quite a big cast, a Sly Stallone, Michael Caine, Pele. I also read, like, some... They had a lot of Ipswich footballers playing, like, Russell Osman, John Waugh, Kevin Beattie.
Darren Huckabee.
Don't think he was there. But I think they said like some of them had to be like do the football scenes for Sly Stallone. It's like basically a stunt double thing. It's quite good for some Ipswich footballer to say they've been a stunt double for Sly Stallone. So but yeah, no, enjoyable film. I haven't seen many, so I can't really contribute much. Have you either of you seen it?
I have, but not in a very long time. I think the main case for it to go on the island is the cast.
Yeah.
All the stars and the Ipswich players.
Yeah, and you know, Mike Summerby as well.
All the stars, including the Ipswich players, I think you mean, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Decent side around that time. I think it was 1981 Ipswich were in UEFA Cups and things like that and winning Cup FA Cup. I think they won the FA Cup in...
pre-Matt Holland era, though.
Pre-Matt Holland era, yeah. Matt Holland, Darren Bentz. What was the fella? Marcus Stewart. Remember him when he first came up? He scored loads, didn't he? And also, I'm just looking at the cast list. There seems to be a Zoltan Gira, but I don't think he's the same one.
He scored in 7 as well.
Yeah.
Is there a Paul Sean?
No. I think they got someone else to play, do the stunt double for him. Someone, an actor played Paul Sean, I think, as far as I can see. Yeah, go on then. So I'll start us off. First one up, I'll nominate Escape to Victory, one for the dads.
Nice, good shout.
Anyone want to step in next?
I'll go next. I've got some notes. So my reasoning for me suggesting for Miriam 5 this week, it is a great film, but it is partially due to the fact that if I didn't pick this film, Phil Devine would never, ever speak to me again. And saying that, I probably should pick a different film now. But anyway, it features a comedic football management team of scout icon Ricky Tomlinson and everyone's favourite former professional footballer turned quiz show host Bradley Walsh. So what's not to love? The film I'm talking about, of course, is Mike Bassett's England manager. Film starts with the big wigs of the FA trying to pick a new England manager because the fella they've got in charge has had a heart attack. They go through a list of countries, nobody wants the job. And they end up settling on a relatively unknown manager called Mike Bassett, whose only experience has been in the lower leagues. An early scene is, I think he's just won a trophy with Ipswich, or is it Norwich? I think it's Norwich. Go on an open top bus, have a diversion, the bus stop, the bus parade finishes with a very windswept Mike Bassett. So I think the plot basically follows Mike Bassett, this unknown manager, taking England to the World Cup. And there are some truly iconic lines in the film. I don't think Sean will leave many of them in. But I'll do my best and see what he does with it. So at one stage in the film, England are losing 2-0 to Mexico. there's like a narrator journalist, and he says half time in England trail Mexico by 2-0. So Mike Bassett's team talk is, have you heard what the fucking shouting? Bassett to. They shouldn't be shouting at me. They should be shouting at you. And you know why? Because at half time, we're 2-0 down to the fucking Mexicans. What the fuck's wrong with you? Get your fucking fingers out. Where's your bottle gone? It goes on for another 5 minutes, this. I don't think Sean's going to leave any of that in, really. But
I think you're hoping that Sean's too busy for it.
Yeah.
Putting all them beeps in, Bob. But yeah, I just wouldn't have said all that.
I thought Sean would enjoy me ranting there. He finishes this expletive-filled half-time team talk, and the narrator then closes with England lose 4-0. So it probably wasn't a very successful team talk. Another one of my favourites is there's a bit of a psycho captain called Wacko. He runs out the changes, punches a wall in the changes, and just says, "Let's kill him." So I absolutely love that. Probably not a family friendly film, but it's comedy gold.
I think it sort of is.
If you can bleep out a lot of it, Ricky Tomlinson is just great in that kind of role, isn't he? And it's our kind of sense of humour. It's a good parody on like the England team of the 90s, because there's this poser is obviously based off Beckham. Can't really work out who Wacko's based off. Could be Stuart Pearce, I suppose, but there are a couple of contenders for mad centre-halves as well.
Did the idea come around from after that? It was obviously after that Graham Taylor documentary, wasn't it? So I imagine it was sort of loosely based. Yeah. I know as you said, some of the other characters are based on people later, so it's probably amalgamation, but probably came around, which is also an unbelievable football documentary. If anyone's not seen that, The Impossible Job. Yeah.
There's a bit of a loose cannon maverick drunkard playmaker who's obviously based off Gaza as well. So I think it's between like late 80s, early 90s to mid 90s that they've got the inspiration for the characters from. I don't really think I've done it justice there, because I just wanted to swear possible without the boss here. So
while the parents away.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
But I think Bradley Walsh is based on like filming from that documentary. My favourite bit is there's a couple of bits that stand out to me that apart from the ones you said were when he's dancing on the bar and he sees Pele. Oh.
And he slags him off.
Yeah. And the other one is the
lead up to that is I can't even remember the character's name. I think it's Tonkinson or something like that. The Gaza character is trying to influence Mike Bassett to have a couple of drinks, and because he's been getting abused so much, he's on antidepressants. And then he just says one more, "I'll go on, boss." And then the next part of the film is him like dancing on top of the bar, taking his shirt off, all that kind of stuff. So brilliant film.
And the after bit, sorry, just the other one, is that is it after the Mexican game when he goes like that, where they sat round the sale, and then he goes, "Tell you what though, that Mexican's one hell of a player."
Yeah.
Cheese for Ramirez.
Cheese for Ramirez.
I was going to try and watch the whole film, but watch the top 5 moments, and it's just comedy gold.
Great film.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to win. We should have maybe got Phil Devine on to collaborate with you.
I couldn't have done that, because he would have just quoted the whole film word for word.
Well, I'm not sure there had many people here not enjoying that.
Yeah.
Right then, Cal.
Yeah, so I think that's a great one, to be fair, Bob. I don't think it's possibly beatable, but I wouldn't say my nomination is the best film in Maroon 5, but I think it's definitely in the top one. I am going with The Damned United. I think it's a great story. I think it's being criticised for possibly not being too historically accurate at times.
Neither was Escape to Victory, to be fair.
Yeah, but I just think it's...
No, that was a documentary, I think, Escape to Victory.
Oh, was it?
No. Yeah, I think so.
But I just think it's a... It's a great film. Obviously, Sheen is just absolutely incredible in it, in how he plays Fluff. It's just like unbelievable. It's obviously very funny. It's quite exciting at times as well. And obviously, it's just I think it's a bit different to the other football films that I'm knocking about, in the way it's played and the way it's like how well it's acted. I think is definitely a big point in it. Obviously, it's before our time in terms of football and the culture of football and that kind of era. So I think that's kind of interesting as well to sort of see football back then almost. But yeah, I just think it's a great film. And yeah, I think Sheen just makes it. I think it actually didn't do too well in like the box office and stuff.
Quite niche though, really, isn't it? I don't think many of these films are box office smashes, are they?
No, I think it was just obviously like very well received by like the people. Yeah. But again, even like Clough's family kind of turned their backs on it almost.
Oh, really?
They refused to go and see it when it released. They refused to go to the premieres and stuff. So yeah, I think there was definitely like a bit of tension between the makes of the film and the Clough family. Again, I think
for like, the Leeds players as well.
Yeah, I think because of like inaccuracies, so he said. But yeah, I just think it is a very, very, very good film. I think the football scenes are great in it. Sheen's great in it. The story itself, I think is good. It's fun. And obviously Clough as a character, Clough, like in real life, is obviously just like kind of very eccentric and very funny and it's one of those people. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I think did we go and watch that together, Tosh, or have I completely made it up?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We did, yeah, I thought so, yeah. Good memories of watching it with Tosh.
Last week it was as well. I said we should invite a pop.
I would have spent, because the Notts Forest thing, I would have just spent the whole time heckling.
Yeah, so a film with good memories. So, yeah, I'm going to throw in The Damned United as my shout for best football film.
I think it's one of them, isn't it, Carl? I think I loved it. And I think it's one of them, isn't it? As you said, it is very niche. I think it's very sort of, it's just, unless you know about that and you like Clough and you know that story, it is sort of, have you read the book?
No.
The book I read, again,
another,
I read that.
Not another book.
I wasn't even trying to then, but since we've mentioned it, The Damned United. Is it David Peace? Is there a David Priest? I can't remember. It was someone like that, so I'll have to check that one. But yeah, no, the book's done like very cleverly, where it's obviously, was it 44 days he was in charge of Leeds? So they sort of do it in a sense like it's sort of, like the film where it flashes forward and back. Where like 1 minute's talking about him at Leeds and then it's about Derby. And it's just the book's very good like that. I think a lot of it was based around truth, but very heightened. I think like a lot of the Leeds players say because they treat him very hostilely. That's the word. I don't think it is a word, but I don't think it was as true as the book suggests it was. But obviously, if you're going to make a book or a film, you're going to do that a bit.
You need to make it a bit
more. Sliced Alone probably wasn't a top keeper.
Probably not.
Yeah. But good at all the other sports, boxing and that. So, great shout. I'm a big fan of that as well. I think at this point, we're going to hopefully be able to hear from Sean, who's going to go with, I think, well, we'll let him say if this works, and say it yourself now, Sean.
That's why he's not here, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, lads. So, obviously, I can't be on the recording today, but I didn't want to miss out on putting forward my nomination for Marooned 5. So, this week, for best football films, there was only one I could really go for. Could have made an argument for a couple of others, but at the heart of it, I can't look past this film because when I was a kid, it was one of my go-to films. It always brought me a little bit of comfort. It's that it was always the one that I kind of went to. So my nomination this week is There's Only One Jimmy Grimble, which I've got a feeling quite a lot of people may not have actually seen, but if you haven't, I'd really recommend it. Firstly, I'd say for a fairly small time British film, I think the cast is pretty unbelievable. You've got the likes of Robert Carlyle, Ray Winston, Gina McKee, Ben Miller. On top of that, you've got an unbelievable soundtrack too, particularly if you were a 90s kid. Obviously, that music's still so iconic. The film's set in Manchester, so it's the soundtrack's by many kind of very 90s bands, like The Charlatans, Stone Roses. Obviously, the film's set in Manchester, so they're even more spot on. As it goes, those two alone are good selling points for this film. I think going back to the soundtrack as well, I said it's set in Manchester. I think this film, for me, it's distinctly Mank. It's just very Mank. It's obviously set in working class areas of Manchester with a heavily Mancunian cast. But yeah, it just feels very real. And I think sometimes football films, even though football itself is a very easy topic to make a film out of, I think a lot of football films are often overdone. The storylines are a bit too far-fetched. The football sequences themselves are terrible. I mean, I say it's realistic. It is. Its premise is about a pair of magic football boots. But if you watch it, you'll realise that it's not actually about that at all. And the football, he hasn't got, like in Goal, for example, where the dream is to go from the Mexican streets to winning the Premier League. And he does that within an hour and a half. This one's just a school football team. But the messages in the team are all about not giving up on yourself and not letting bullies win. And I think for young people, it's a really good film to get those messages in a good and relatable way. But I think probably one of the things I love most about the film is if you showed a current, maybe a young modern day football fan, that the dynamics of the football aspect would actually make no sense, because it's set in Manchester, 99 or 2000, I think it came out, 2000 maybe. At that time, you got United, treble winners, biggest team on the planet, arguably. A big reason why Jimmy gets bullied is because he supports City, which obviously back then made sense, because obviously they were awful, weren't they? They were yo-yoing up and down in the Football League. But if you show the modern football fan now, it would almost be the other way around. And I love that, the fact that it ages it so well. And it dates it so well to the point where you can kind of pinpoint where that film fits in football history at a time before all the money was in football. And Jimmy and the people around him who support City, they support City for the right reasons, rather than nowadays. A lot of the reason why certain people support teams is because obviously you've got the glory hunters, we know many of them. You've got some people just support a player, which I've always found a bit mad. And another thing, talking about the lack of money in football, you've got one of the teachers who's played by Robert Carlyle, and it turns out halfway through the film he actually used to play for City, but no one knows. And I think if you look at the way football was then in the 90s, or when I assume when he played 70s, 80s in the film, people would finish and then they'd have to get a second job. It's not now football now where you got players who are made for life. I was watching an interview with Jamie O'Hara this week where he said over the course of a 5-year deal at Wolves, he was going to make £9 million, something like that. If he'd had invested that wisely, he'd never have to work again. This teacher had to. You see, I think Barry Horn, former Everton player, he's currently or was a teacher anyway, over in the Wirral. And it's just, yeah, again, another sign of how football's changed. And I think modern day football fans could maybe do with watching it. It's not really heavy. It's not like a historical look back, but it's just a little glimpses into the football world that people might not know because it's before their time. And the final comments I'm going to make, I've got a little thing for at the very end, but the final comments I'm going to make is another thing that stuck with me this week, which is actually pretty sad if I'm honest. I was doing a bit of research on all the actors to see what they're all up to, and well, potentially thinking about if I could try and find a way to get one or two of them on the podcast. And I found out that one of the main characters, probably you'd say the villain of the piece, Gorgeous Gordon, he actually passed away a week ago, which I just found a bit mad, the timing of that. Obviously really sad, but if there's one thing he's done, he's left a legacy for football fans like me who still love this film. So yeah, that's my argument for this week. Hopefully it'll slot in nicely into this conversation. Obviously, the lads can't comment on it, give me any feedback, but hopefully I've done it justice. And just before I go, got a little quiz question for everyone. And I'm going to need you to comment either on the YouTube or on Twitter, Instagram, something like that, if you think you know the answer. So one actor has appeared in at least two of the films we've mentioned so far today. So either Escape to Victory, Mike Bassett, The Damned United, Goal, or Jimmy Grimble. One actor has appeared in two of those films. Can you name that actor? Nice one, lads.
Well, what a great one that was by you, Sean. Well done. I
really yeah, liked good that job, one. Sean. Great yeah, film.
We should great do this film. More often like this, Sean, because that was your best. That was the best I've heard from you again. So yeah. Well done. Right then.
The don't insulate one, yourself.
Yeah. The fifth one we're going to pick is the obvious one. I had no say in this. Sean said we should go with Goal. What do you reckon, Bob?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think I've seen Goal. I think I've seen Goal 2.
Well, Goal 2 has got Tommy Grafson in, so...
Yeah, exactly. I've seen the one at Real Madrid.
No.
Goal is like a classic football film.
Yeah, it's like prime for our age group as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's our obvious one anyway, so Goal, or any of the Goal films. It's a Goal, none of ours were made into trilogies, were we? So,
true.
I suppose it was Bob, Mike Bassett went to like a TV series, though, didn't it?
There was a telly series and there was a crowdfund thing to try and get a sequel made, but it never happened. So I suppose if you get the sponsorship in, that's the first project we can lead on.
I was going to say, imagine after this podcast, there'll be that will probably reignite with the sort of backing we've got.
Yeah.
Right then. Yeah, so... Including our Maroon 5 then, so for Oscar special, we have the best film to take for all the lads to watch, Escape to Victory, Mike Bassett, Damned United, Jimmy Grimble, and the obvious one, Goal. So if you could get over to X, as I say, lots of people voting last week, and it was very good, much more exciting. So if you could do that again, please retweet, etc., to try and get as many votes as possible. That would be much appreciated. But yeah. I don't know who we're passing on to now for the game. Has anyone got a random wheel or?
Sure, go on, I can do it. Does Sean still scream record this? Do we know?
Does he still what?
Scream record it.
What's that mean?
You know, like you scream record off your phone, so like a screenshot, but it's a recording of it.
Yeah, so like you'd show the video. He can live without it for a week, I reckon, if so, anyway.
I'll do it. It's and fine.
If he's pulling his finger out as well, he can just do it himself, can't he?
Give him more work. That's what notice you've done this week, Bob. You've given more work to do.
Right. The winner is Manchester United versus Everton.
It's going to be a depressing one, that, isn't it?
I think.
Yeah,
might be good. Might be good enough for a point there.
Nah, no chance.
Might be good enough for a point.
Martial's fifth again, isn't he? So
yeah, see, now he's back in training, isn't he? Just for our game, just wheel him out to play us.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're sort of, you never know with them, do they? Like, obviously, United lost a couple on the bounce. They're not very good at all, and obviously, we're not particularly good. Although I think there's an element of, I think people are getting a bit too carried away with Everton. About sort of
the terrible winless run.
I know, but again, like, you know, even Saturday, like they've done extremely well to lose that game there, haven't they? Like, there's only Everton who would have lost that game. That was like, you know, and people are sort of, I know Dyche, he's not the most exciting, but you know, that's not his fault. We've lost that game there. You know, Beto scores that penalty. You know, McNeil scores that chance just after we go 1-0 up. It's just they I don't know.
I'd almost forgotten about the penalty because his actual goal was so good, but obviously that was mainly the cross. But
I
think even his goal wasn't even that good. It came off his shoulder, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Calvert-Lewin would have missed it.
Calvert-Lewin would have put it in. I think it was like, I don't know how he managed to lose that 3-1.
Yeah,
it's mad. I think it wasn't like
just capitulated, didn't he?
Yeah. We played okay in parts. I thought it wasn't as you said, it wasn't as bad as everyone made out. But we done more than enough to at least get a draw. We probably done enough any other week to win that game. Yeah. We just can't kill games off, can we? I think after we scored, we seen something like a 5-minute spell where we looked like we only had a second. Then it was a bit like it hasn't happened, and then we conceded. And it was like sit back and that. I don't know. It was strange. But on another day, as you say, Beto's pen goes in. McNeil's one. The keeper just doesn't save it. McNeil had about three other shots that the keeper just managed to get to. Yeah. Calvert-Lewin had that one where the keeper just tipped it over him. I think for the large part, we're actually very unlucky. You can write off the third goal. That just when you chase it. But yeah, it's just frustrating that we just can't seem to kill games off. We so many times this season we've done enough to win, but lost, which I think is kind of like a bad feeling.
Well, again, that's the stat about, you know, like the difference between our XG and goals scored. The difference between that is like twice the difference anyone else's in the league is.
Yeah.
Something like ours is like 12 or 13 less than what we should have scored. And like, I think Brentford do it like 6 or 7. And again, I think it's just, I'd say like even that McNeil one you say about Calat, that Harrison, it comes to him there. He should be shooting himself.
He's dreadful.
I don't know. There's times I think he's half all right, and I can sort of see he's a bit like, I think we can't remember talking about the other week. You can see how he would have worked in like a Bielsa system of sort of running and working. And there's times you think like he does, like, again, his stats, not to go too stats, you know, for Leeds and at the start of the season, you know, he was like chance creation and things like that are good, but he just so wasteful.
He's a headless sheet. Yeah, he just loses the ball at every single opportunity, and he needs to get a shirt that fits him.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. Shame, but I think I've seen something like the top three goalkeeping performances this season. All being against Everton. I think it was him at the weekend, Leno, and Sar. Is it
Sar? Jose Sarfa, yeah.
It's just how many weekends can you just say that we've been unlucky, though? Is it unlucky if you're just not scoring?
But it's also the other elements of
if Calvert-Lewin out the team now, and Beto's not wouldn't go 20 games without scoring. So I think I don't know.
Calvert-Lewin wouldn't go
20 games without controlling the ball properly, though. So now again, I don't mind. I feel a bit sorry for Calvert-Lewin. I think he's not been playing as badly again. Bit of unluckiness and things like that. And again, if he's on the pitch, he probably scores that pen. To be brutally honest, he might not win it, but I suppose. And I don't know, just the other element of unluckiness for me was the fact that, you know, 2-0 games in a row, we've had that AU who scored an absolute worldie in that Suchet. They'll probably never score a goal as that in the Premier League as good as either of them. And they're the two to sort of decide in goals. Because West Ham had no ideas of winning that game there. You know, they were taking the point.
I don't even think they'd done enough, really, for a point.
That's what I mean, you know, but I'm saying that's sort of the worry which, I think is becoming more recently the last few weeks, is that the likes of Palace, for example, a couple of weeks ago, and that was a different game. I thought they were much worse against Palace ever. You know, Palace aren't even thinking about doing anything and they just go 1-0 up. You know, West Ham, they scored from a corner, a set piece. That can happen, unfortunately. You know, we've scored a lot from set pieces, you know, but again, you know, they're probably thinking, God, we're lucky to be 1-1 here. Let's get out with that. Oh, 2-1 up. And then 3-1, you know, the 3-1, as you say, Callum. The other note on the 3-1, Garner, who I'm a fan of, I know he's been getting a bit of a stick recently, but he takes a corner, he hits the first man, the referee says, no, take it again. You know, bear in mind the boo boys at Everton waiting to shout at you. Would you have made sure you didn't hit the first man there?
Yeah, just doing the overhead.
I'd get kicked it out for a throw in the other side rather than doing that again. Just unbelievable. I couldn't believe that. And then he gives it away, doesn't he, for the goal? So I think his head had gone.
Yeah. Can we move on to the press and talk about Everton?
Yeah.
So, predictions?
5-11 after that, I'm confident.
Yeah. All our goals are going to go in this weekend.
1-0 United, Martial, definitely.
I'm going to go 1-1. Right,
yeah. Damn it, I'm not getting one.
I thought we go with 5-0.
Good job. I didn't have a right. I don't know. I feel like we could sneak something, but reality is probably not. Records, I'm going to go 2-0 United.
Martial Brace.
Cool. So I will get our number up. Our number is Any ideas for Song of the Week? Films?
Skyfall.
Why Skyfall?
It's in a film, weren't it?
It's in a film, isn't it?
Yeah, they're full hand.
Do you have any other songs in films? Or
that's a good topic.
Tosh has only seen three films, so.
I know every James Bond one's got a song, so just all of them. Live and Let Die for Bob. Bob would like that one. No, I don't know. Was,
Do Daddy Cool for sure.
Right, okay.
Or Papa's Got a Brand New Bag.
Pick one.
Daddy Cool.
Okay, so Song of the Week this week is Daddy
Cool. One called Daddy Gimple.
You can change the title if you want, but yeah, shout out to you, Sean.
I don't want to overthink mine. I end up here changing it, so I'm not going.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the not current.
Oh, it's not like you. Maybe you're not going the same one as me.
It's recent, like.
Yeah, mine's not, I don't know, not too recent.
I think mine had, I think mine actually had, it might actually be 3.5 seasons. It's either 2.5 or 3.5, which will make a big difference. But it was definitely left, yeah, he definitely left halfway.
Go on, we're ready to go then. Have you got your guess, Bob?
Yeah.
Anyone want to go first?
Go on, so my player, I think, definitely left. Well, he definitely did leave about a half season. I was going along the basis that you probably have had to be there maybe 3.5 seasons for this number. And I have gone with someone who probably should still be playing for the club, really, but left because of a manager that for some reason didn't like him or they didn't like each other. So I am going with Lucas Digne. I think was there for a few and a half seasons.
Some say the best left back of the Premier League era for Everton.
Yeah, some have said. Bob definitely hasn't said, but
I'm not sure Bob can mute me as well now. So
yeah, it's probably Dean Michalenko then Baines probably.
David Unsworth,
Baines.
Pistone. And Gary Naismith.
So I'm going Lucas Digne as my guess.
And Hinchcliffe.
He's a snake.
Yeah, he's annoying him. I will go next then. I had a few, and to be honest with you, one of them was the one I'm going with was one who was in my head the last time we did quite a similar number, which I don't think is cheating, but he came to my head again. So I'm going to go with Gareth Barry, who I think I spoke about last time. So maybe this does count as cheating. If it's close, then maybe it is. There might be somewhere. It might be a contentious one. It might be the equivalent of giving the ball back to Liverpool, this if I was to win with this. But I just think same sort of thing as Callum. I think he was there for like most of Martinez's time, which is about 3 years-ish. Fairly consistent in his playing most weeks. Also, just a brilliant footballer, would go down as one of my favourite ever Everton players, I think, of people I've seen. So, yeah, hopefully pretty close, I imagine, yeah. I wouldn't even know if he's either way, which maybe is a good sign, whether he's too little or too much. So, yeah, I think Gareth Barry for mine. I'd have a few of the names, but I'll wait till Bob's done his.
What a player, by the way.
That was going to be my comments as well. What a player. Hasn't aged a day as well.
Yeah, it's just a good sign that was. I remember his first game at Chelsea, wasn't it? And he made that. Was it a game? He made it like a bit of an interception, like a goal saving interception in the box.
Eto, I think it was mad back heel kind of thing, really acrobatic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. And then from then I knew we're on to something. Good shout, Bob.
From one wonderful holding midfield player, I'm going to go for one that isn't quite as good by us. I'm still a really big fan. Somebody who's had, actually, a I forgot to ask this. Can we go current players?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's in his currently in his second spell at Everton. Going to go for Idrissa Garner Gay. Or Idrissa Garner Gwai, as Callum called him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I reckon, again, should be a pretty good shout, that. I reckon. Other names, any other names floating around while Callum checks? I was thinking, I don't know.
James McFadden.
You've already had him. I was thinking Johnny Huitinger popped in my head.
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Just thinking 3-4 years, that was the other one, but I reckon if I hadn't had Barry, like, thoughts from last time, I'd have gone in.
I was half thinking Richie or Decore.
Oh, yeah.
So they signed at a similar time as Dean, were they, I think, possibly?
No.
Was Richie and...
Oh, yeah, no, Dina, sorry. I thought you meant Decore. Decore, I don't think was he?
No, like, I think Richie...
Yeah, Richarlison was probably similar to Dean, actually, I suppose. Mm. But Decore was like Ancelotti's COVID season, wasn't he?
But Decore and Richarlison played that Watford together, didn't he? No?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think they did, yeah.
Again, I don't know. When would Dean have joined? Was he the same son we signed, like Mina and Gomez? That maybe would have been... maybe then. That would have been Silva's first season, wouldn't it? He signed Richarlison. And then he signed them, and then maybe I reckon Decore a couple of years later. But are you checking here, Callum? The one I had was Victor Anachebe, maybe. That was me the player, but again, we've done already.
Ooh, doing as you're saying them.
Look, that pro wouldn't even have noticed. That's the air level. You've got good of here. Looking on transfer market while you're talking. I've noticed that over the last few weeks. Okay, then, results are in. Obviously, just the three of us this week. Sean might have a little guess, but we'll just assume he's getting 1 point anyway. These guesses are quite good, so he probably is. So we had all within 20 this week, so really good guesses. We're usually a bit better when we're Everton-related. So third and second were very close, just one appearance out in terms of distance away from the answer. So we had with 1-2-7 appearances, so 19 out. Was Luca Dean. So 19 out from Callum, third place. It's a very, to be coming third at the score like that's still a great guess. We then had on 1-6-4 appearances, so 18 out, was Idrissa Garner Gay. So he was 18 out. So again, pretty good guess still from Bob. And then, so that means I'm the winner this week with Gareth Barry, who was 1-5-5, so just 9 out. So,
Very interesting instinct
from last time. I had 2, but I'll take it. Great
player. You can remove the asterisk now.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Balance
maybe
that
there's
out.
A bit of controversy there, perhaps.
Yeah.
Sean wouldn't have been having that.
Well done, Tosh. Good win.
But Bob got to say the C word. I got to use an answer from last time. We're all doing different things.
Yeah. Horses for courses. So, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Keeping Up Appearances. Again, congratulations to Sean and Hannah. I'm sure the baby will love to listen to this episode sometime later in the week. Probably help get to sleep, which might be good. I'm sure this podcast puts a lot of you to sleep. But it was a great episode. We had a good Any Given Saturday given to us by Bob with a nice feature of Leighton Baines. A film-related Maroon 5, some great shouts in there. So please head over to Extra Votes, which is your favourite football movie. And Tosh was victorious in Keeping Up Appearances with a great shout of Gareth Barry in what we liked as an Everton-themed Keeping Up Appearances. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast and this episode. Keep sharing on social media and telling your friends about it. And we'll see you soon.